Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, everybody? Happy December 26th, this Thursday at the Treasure Chess Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier bringing it to 7 o'clock, and then we got some choices for you. 7 p.m. on 870 a.m., a tip-off between the Pelicans and Houston Rockets. Pre-game coverage starts 6:30 there. Meanwhile, 105.3 FM in the Odyssey app at 7. Seattle at Chicago, Thursday night football action. And I don't know if Amazon's too happy tonight about that matchup they have.
Oh, yow. You didn't get two good games yesterday either for Netflix. Ooh-wee.
No, right.
Those were kind of snoring games. You know, you watch a little bit of it, and then you might take your little
off, right?
Nap. Unless you got coin on it, that keep you up a little bit. But
Houston pulled the Saints almost.
Pretty close. Now, tonight, I think it'll be a little closer game. I like Seattle tonight over the Bears. It means more to Seattle.
Right,
at this
exactly.
stage, Chicago's like bailing water. Man, that was a team that a lot of people thought could possibly be a contender in the playoffs.
For sure.
For a playoff spot. Not in that division. They're the only team in that division that's not in the think. You know, we may look at this in a couple of weeks, and you may have three teams with 12 wins. Out of one conference.
Right. It's like
one
what?
Deal. It's like, what? Out of the NFC North? My goodness. Chicago's really suffering right now. And they'll be looking for a new coach. And find it funny, it sort of got leaked to Adam Schefter over the weekend. And he puts out Pete Carroll looking to get back into pro football. Mm. And I knew that Pete eventually, he wants to coach again. If it was at the collegiate level or at the professional level, if you'd asked me a month ago, I'd have said, I thought Pete Carroll gets into it before Belichick, but that wasn't the case.
Right.
But, you know, Pete's had a lot of experience at the collegiate level, a lot of wins at USC, a lot of success there, man, and seeing how that program was built. And I remember going to see Coach O out there, and they had Ed was the defensive line coach, recruiting coordinator. Sarkisian was the quarterback's coach. Lane Kiffin, coach wide receivers. It was, man, like a who's who.
Yeah.
You know, Norm Chow was the offensive coordinator there. And, man, it was unbelievable to watch that that team. And, boy, were they good at that time. And they knew name, image, likeness long before, you know, it was legal. But whatever. Pete knew how to play that game pretty well. But they won. They won big. And, man, USC, those top players from California, they didn't leave the state. They were headed to USC.
Like you mentioned, week 17 of the NFL season started last night with the Christmas games on Netflix. Today we've got Thursday night football, Seattle and Chicago. Sunday, Saints football. Actually, there's Saturday football, too. I completely glossed over that. But Sunday we got the Saints, who are in action at home in the finale, the regular season finale at home They'll be likely without their center and Eric McCoy, who didn't practice again today. That's not good news for them. It's an elbow issue. Coach Rizzi did say at least it's not something that's going to require surgery.
Yeah, and so you can expect Shane Lemieux is going to play center.
Right.
And most likely Landon Young is going to be the left guard
because
of Lucas Patrick. And so now you got two new pieces to the puzzle. And we'll see what happens at the quarterback slot. The fact that Derek did not practice today is sort of telling a little bit. And if he was playing or not playing, I would never tell the media anything about it if I was the coach. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But Spencer Rattler's going to get the nod if Derek can't go. Now, we heard Coach Rizzi say last week, if Derek Carr's healthy, he's starting.
Right.
And he basically telling you, hey, he's going to start. But again, the big question mark is, how functional is he with that injury? And it's not about the concussion now. It is about the hand injury.
Before we get more into the injury report, Mike, wanted to let everyone know, Charlie let me know from the studio that we've got a phone call saying that fog is getting very bad on the south end of the causeway. So they may continue to use restrictions there. Stay posted to WWL. We'll have more updates throughout the show and obviously in our news updates. Back with the Saints injury report, though, getting into another guy that did not practice today, Alvin Kamara, dealing with a groin issue. He's definitely a huge question mark, not just for Sunday, but the rest of the season.
Yeah, and so again, you know, we thought last week, you know, it was a great opportunity for Kendra Miller. What happens? You know, he's watching the game,
yeah,
most of it. He ain't playing. Mims got more snaps in. So, hey, listen, you're not going to get all these opportunities in life. You got to take hold of it when it happens. And I know the game got out of hand quickly, but still, if you look at those totals, I mean, he didn't do anything running the ball, but they got beat up front. The offensive line got really beat up against a really good Packers defensive front. And so, again, it gives an opportunity here for Kendra Miller, and we know he's talented. Does he want to give you what he's got? And it's not about most of the time what he can give you on Sunday is preparation, getting himself mentally and physically ready to play an NFL, not just a game, a series of games, which we haven't seen him being able to piece that together.
No, it's been a big disappointment from him. And, yeah, I thought it would be somewhat of a coming out for him. You wanted to show something against the Packers.
Didn't show nothing.
No, nobody was able to do anything, though.
No, it's just a total dominate. The score was no indication of how bad the game got out of hand. The Packers really literally could have scored any time they had the ball. I mean, that's how dominant their offense was. And defensively, boy, they got after you. And once they knew you weren't going to run the ball, that was it. And when we come back on the second segment, I'll talk a little bit about how. And it was so funny. I heard this at Louisiana line camp in the summer. And, you know, most of the guys there, a lot of defensive coaches from the NFL. We actually had nine defensive coaches in the NFL that were there at Louisiana line camp. They had three on the offensive side, but nine on defense. And all of them were saying, hey, guys, we better change up. You know why? While we're getting smaller, they're going to start running the football. And I'll give you some stats to show that that's exactly what is happening this year in the National Football League. Teams are running the football more than we've seen it over the last few years and trying to be physical, control the football, and not putting everything in the basket of a quarterback to make play after play after play.
Rounding out the Saints injury report was Juwan Johnson, Nathan Shepard, Peyton Turner, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, all limited at practice. Positive, though, Chris Olave, a full go as he comes back from the concussion protocol. We shall see if he'll be in action for the games this year.
This late in the year, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't.
Maybe get him out there for a few snaps to get some confidence.
Not me. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. My thing is, hey, listen, you get better. You not playing at this point for a championship or anything else.
Right.
We want you healthy for 2025. And I get it with Coach Rizzi. Come on, you know, if he can help me win, then, you know, again, I think it would be a major, major long shot for him to get the head coaching job full time.
Right.
But, you know, I understand kind of both sides of it here. But with Olave, I would certainly – look at him to for the next two games. He won't be playing.
The only thing I could see, I totally would understand shutting him down and, you know, thinking about next season. But I just wonder if you want to get him out there at all just to get some confidence of getting hit again and, you know, getting back into the flow of live game action.
He knows how to play football.
Yeah, I know.
He knows how to play football. I keep him out, Steve. I get it, but my thing is I want him healthy for 2025. It gives him a long time for, you know, that head issue to recover, and there's no Band-Aid to put on that head. You know,
right,
you
yeah.
get a head issue, and as, you know, he kind of got back-to-back sort of shots there. You got to take it very, very, especially in today's world, you got to be careful with it.
I imagine we would see him in the game if he does play this year with a guardian cap. It just seemed to make sense for him. I know he was practicing one for a little bit this year, but he ended up, you know, transitioning to that into game time for whatever reason.
And to hell how it looks. You know, you got to protect yourself. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys for years.
It's hard to tell now even. I've seen a few with the
Kind of built-in sort of situation.
The skin over it.
But, you know, I talked to Schlerf about this. For a lot of years, guys didn't want to play with a knee brace. You know, man, what? I'm going to look like I'm soft if I'm playing with a knee brace. What? If that can help me prolong my career, I'm going to play with it. Now, today, I mean, it's a non-issue if you play with a knee brace or not, you know. But I think maybe years ago, because we don't have social media back then like they do today, but it was, you're a soft player playing with a knee brace. What? No, I'm trying to protect myself so I can continue my career. Hebert got the best line about it. The real world sucks. And we found out today, Teddy Bridgewater found out real quick. Okay, yeah, you can go coach somewhere. That's fine. But, man, I want to get that NFL money. That's where I can really make it. You're never going to make that kind of cash again.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Coming up this hour, we'll be talking to Chrissy Smith, a podcaster and writer for TheNode.com, getting a little insight on this Pelicans matchup against the Houston Rockets tonight, and also all those trade rumors swirling around the Pellies. 5 o'clock hour, Chrissy Freud, college football and NFL writer for USA Today, will join us. 6 o'clock hour, all NFL. Hondo Carpenter covers the Raiders for Sports Illustrated, and also our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, and digital content producer for WWL. Will give us an update from Saints practice today. Taking a break here on WWL. We'll be back with more right after this here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Stay tuned. We are back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino as we count down to Thursday Night Football coming up on 105.3 FM between Seattle and the Bears, and then also on 105.3 FM. That's on 105.3 FM, 870 AM. Pelicans taking on the Rockets. Pre-game coverage starts 6:30 there. And then tomorrow, Pelly's got another one back-to-back at home, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Same tip-off time, 7 p.m. You can catch all the action. Pelicans on 870 a.m. Mike, there was something you were talking about you wanted to get into as we were getting into the break just a moment ago.
Yeah, we were talking about running the football more in the NFL, and I got kind of tipped off a little bit by it. When you go to Louisiana Line Camp, there's a lot of the NFL coaches there, and they had a feeling that the offenses, because they had been in those meetings and they knew what their teams were doing, so they figured it was league-wide. Yeah. You know, and last year there was not a running back in the NFL that carried the football 300 times as a rusher. Derrick Henry had 280, Christian McCaffrey 272, Rashad White, and think about that, last year he carried about 272 times for the Bucs. And then Travis Etienne, Louisiana guy, Jacksonville Jaguars, 267. This year, already with games left to play, you got three running backs that have carried the football over 300 times. Saquon Barkley, 314. Derrick Henry, 305. Kyron Williams, 303 with the Rams. And there's four other guys that are in kind of shouting distance of the 300 mark, and that would be Josh Jacobs, who we got to see Monday night, 278. Bijan Robinson with Atlanta, 259. Najee Harris with the Steelers. He may get the 300. He got 251 right now with a couple games. And then Chuba Hubbard with the Panthers, 250. So you might have 6 to 7 guys that rushed the ball 300 times or more. Last year, you didn't have not one.
Yeah, people were quick to run off the running back last year.
And you look at the success of what Derek has done to the offense with the Ravens, what Josh has done. And, you know, Aaron Jones is a good back. You know, he goes to Minnesota. But, you know, they got a better player in Josh Jacobs. And what he was able to do, and certainly Saquon. And I told you, man, I was a Saquon Barkley fan coming out of Penn State. Just got saddled with a bad team. And then he gets beat up in New York. And then you would figure, you know, they let him go. And he goes sign with the Eagles. And wild. He is certainly, man, offensively, he's carted them on his back. And I know they got terrific receivers. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You know, and Dallas Goedert at tight end and what Hurts does at quarterback. But really, that offense revolves around Saquon Barkley. On the flip of that, think of last year in receptions. CeeDee Lamb had 135 last year, which that's a big number. Tyreek Hill, 119. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had 119. Evan Engram. Now, if we was on Football Jeopardy, most people wouldn't have got the fourth one. He got 114 with the Jaguars. Michael Pittman Jr., he got 109 with the Colts. And then Keenan Allen got 108 with the L.A. Chargers. This year, Ja'Marr Chase leads everybody with 108.
Yep.
You know, he ain't getting the 135.
No.
And then you think Brock Bowers at 101 along with CeeDee Lamb.
We'll be seeing
and the
him.
Saints are going to see Brock Bowers. And, you know, that was an easy call on him, how good of a player he was at Georgia. And they just feed him the ball, certainly with the Raiders. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown again. He's got over 100. He's got 101. Malik Nabers is 97. So I would figure, you know, he's going to get over the 100. Mark Travis Kelsey's 97, too. Him and Malik both have 97. And then Jackson Smith and Najobo, he's got 93. Justin Jefferson's got 92. And Trey McBride has 92. But think about Trey. He's got 92 catches and not a one touchdown catch.
How is that?
He's
happen,
got a touchdown
right?
run. But no touchdown
no reception.
So look at the numbers, and you can see how this league has pivoted a little bit, and it's much more now than, say, a year ago toward the running game. The other thing that jumps out at me, Brock Bowers, with 101 catches, he eclipsed last year's mark with Sam Laporta, who set it at 86. Hmm. The most catches by a rookie tight end. Bowers got 101. Keith Jackson, who you knew about when he was with the Eagles, he got 81. Jeremy Shockey, that first year, 2002 with the New York Giants, he got 74. Dalton Kincaid in that special year of 2023 of tight ends, he got 73. And the only year he's really put up big numbers as a rookie, Kyle Pitts, 68 in 2021. You're seeing the big impact, too, at tight end. And rookie tight end saying, okay, just throw me the ball. I got it.
Yeah.
You see it with Bowers. You saw it last year with Laporta. Dalton Kincaid, he's had a few injuries this year. But, man, he's a terrific football player. We all saw the impact of Shockey, not only with the Giants, but then when the Saints got him from New York and what he had for that Super Bowl run here with the Saints. And, man, Keith Jackson, he's a man out on that field for the Eagles. Now, he didn't catch a ton of passes at Oklahoma. They weren't known for throwing the football back then. They were a run-oriented team. But you see now what's happening on the other end. And I think this will be a really good year for tight ends coming out. They may have somebody eclipse Brock Bowers' record next year. It is a quarterback-friendly spot where I'm looking for a hot guy quickly. It's the tight end. And that's why I think you've seen what Bowers and Laporta have been able to bring to the table, and certainly Dalton Kincaid, too, with the Bills.
You mentioned that list of the leading receivers, and what stood out to me is obviously Bowers, but also on the list, Nabers, two rookies doing their thing, and Nabers, man, getting it done in New York with
lousy
no quarterback play.
That's
right.
Bad. Now, I will say this. Bowers, he's not looking like an all-star team of quarterbacks. What he got, he had
True.
Uncle Rico for a while, and then Uncle Rico gets hurt. Then he has O'Connell throwing him the football, and then Desmond
he got hurt,
Ritter.
Right? Yeah, and now it's back to O'Connell.
Okay. So just think about that. I mean, he's not playing with an all-star team. You went from Jaden Daniels to Aiden O'Connell and Desmond Ritter. That ain't really good. And you can see the body language with Malik and hear it in his voice. Man, what have I gotten into? My thing, I'd tell him, hey, Malik, guess what? I know you got paid at LSU, but you're getting paid a lot of money now in the NFL.
For sure. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back from the break, we'll be joined by Chrissy Smith, podcaster and writer at TheKnow.com, getting all the action and breaking it down for Pelicans at Houston, taking on the Houston Rockets in the Smoothie King Center tonight. 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off over on 870 AM. We'll be back with more at the Treasure Chest Casino. Join us for Sports Talk. We're here till 7 on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettelier. Happy to welcome in now Chrissy Smith, podcaster and writer for TheKnow.com. Chrissy, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are y'all? Good to talk to you.
Chrissy, great to have you on. Man, it was heartbreak to see it because Pelicans had that game against the Nuggets. It slips away in overtime. The one bright spot certainly come out of there is Jordan Hawkins. And I think in this year, you're kind of looking for a bright spot here or there. You're not getting it consistent with Jordan, but, man, for him to get 25 points in that game, that certainly was big for Jordan. And, you know, I know one thing he can shoot. Now, I wish he'd play a little better defense, but I do know one thing. He can put the ball in that round circle pretty well. So coming out of that game, it gave you a little bit of hope that this young man – is developing into a really good shooter in the NBA.
Yeah, and for a second-year player, it's really nice to see him advance and grow the way that he has. He's really developed that three-point shot even more than he did as a rookie last year. So that's been great to see because, obviously, with all the injuries, the Pelicans have needed somebody, multiple people really, to step up and do some things that we weren't expecting to see this season.
Chrissy, I think the other thing, too, is we saw, and it surprised me a little bit. I'd watched him in college in that 1 year at Baylor, but Mise and what he's been able to do with this team, and you see a young man that has just picked up this game so quickly. I remember before the season, this is probably 3 weeks before the season, we had Jen Hale on, and Jen had told me, even before we went on the air, that, Mike, I'm telling you, the Pelicans coaches are saying he's way ahead of what they thought he would be at this stage. Because I thought he would be sort of just a chip player. You know, every once in a while you'll see a few minutes just to kind of, you know, give you a starter, a little bit of a breather. He's done a lot more than that. You think about it against the Nuggets, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 3 block shots. As a former player, you see that, you know, yourself, because you played in the college ranks. But to have that guy come in here, not of a lot of experience, and I don't want to say the NBA's been easy, but it's been easier than I think anyone could have imagined when you watched him in college a year ago.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch him this season. It's definitely been one of the bright spots that was unexpected. You know, going into the season, it was like, what are we going to do about the center position? And then here you've got this kid coming in that nobody was talking about. No one was saying, oh, we might have a potential rookie of the year candidate playing in New Orleans. I mean, the last time this organization even had that was in 2006 with Chris Paul. And so now you've got somebody that is in the running, and he is so exciting and fun to watch. But the other thing I love about him is that he's hungry. He wants to prove himself out there, and he's taking all the advice, everything he's being given, and he's implementing it every game. And like you said, he's learning so fast. And I think that it's definitely something that's giving some of the other players on the team, you know, something to play for. When you only have 5 wins on the season at this point, it can be a bit discouraging. But they've got this young guy that I think they're all, you know, pulling and rallying around him a bit to try to see what this season could end up being for him.
Chris, the way this season has played out, Steve and I have talked about it, along with Charlie. Somebody eventually is going to become the guy that catches the guillotine, okay, across the neck. And my thing is, if this continues the way it is, I don't see how Willie can get out of January, to be honest with you. And it's not all his fault, but, you know, again, that perception reality part, we win and we finding kind of new ways to lose games. That, do you think Willie can survive this to the end of the year? Personally, for me, I don't see how he'll be able to survive this. No matter if you start to get some of the pieces back healthy, you're so far back right now that eventually that finger is going to get pointed toward you, and you're going to catch the blade.
Well, the thing is, at some point, someone has to be blamed for what's going on, and you're not going to blame the guys that are injured and can't do anything about it. So typically it is going to fall on the head coach at some point. I mean, I personally think the team's playing hard. I think that they're playing for Willie, and they're doing the best they can. But I mean, they're a broken team. You get one guy back and you trade him for somebody else getting injured at this point. So I think Willie's doing a fine job. I'm not going to say, you know, I could see him being coach of the year at some point, but I think he's doing what he can with what he's got. But I do think I can't see him making it out of the season, even January, like you said, because if things don't turn around at some point, I mean, somebody's got to get blamed for what's going on.
The good news is you get DeJounte Murray back, and we see the facilitator of a guy that can get the guy, you know, someone else in play for a really good shot. We saw it against Denver, 17 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, and 6 steals. This is why you made the trade to bring him in. You thought he was going to be the guy to be the facilitator between Brandon Ingram and Zion and Trey Murphy and everyone else involved. Now, he gets hurt, you know, real early in the year, but I think you've seen glimpses of why you made that trade. The only problem is you have so many other guys that you were hoping he could get the ball to is not on the court.
Yeah, and you got to see it in the first game when you had everybody there except for Trey, and you know, but it was exciting. He was doing what we wanted a point guard to do for this team. And I think we all said, oh man, the potential that we knew was there, we're seeing it happen. And then at the end of the first game, he breaks his hand and you're like, oh brother. And now, you know, he's back, but he does have a lot of missing pieces still. So we haven't seen that full potential, but what we have seen, there's so much good there. If we could just get everyone together on the court at some point, I mean, think about it. Jordan Hawkins wouldn't even be a starter typically, but look how well he's playing. Can you imagine having the starting five with the depth of like Jordan Hawkins coming off the bench while you've got Murray facilitating as a point guard? I mean, there's so much that could be there, and we know that's there, but Murray has also been something really great to watch this season. And he's a great point guard overall.
You mentioned those injuries, and I'm just curious. Obviously, there's hopefully some help on the horizon with Jose Alvarado and Zion Williamson expected to be back in the mix next week. Just this offense has been so lacking, and you hear all these trade rumors, but getting Zion at least back into the mix, I think it's got to be obviously crucial for this team right now, because we're just in a tailspin for this season, and I don't even know where fans are thinking right now about, you know, football season's ending, and is anybody thinking about going to Pelicans
no,
games?
No, people talking to me more about LSU baseball
right
than the Pelicans, but Chrissy, I think they need somebody to put the jumper cables on the battery, and they haven't found that guy yet. And so hopefully if you can get healthy, maybe together they can slap those jumper cables on that battery.
Yeah, well, we know that Jose Alvarado coming back, he's an energy guy. People want to watch him play. Even if you're losing, you want to watch him. The guy's great. But obviously, if you can get Zion back about the same time as Jose, then things suddenly can start to ramp up. Then we can see, you know, we're still going to be missing Ingram, and Trey Murphy is day-to-day right now. But if you can get Zion back on the court and then see what starts happening, like you said, with DeJounte Murray facilitating, and we've got Herb Jones out there, and then we've got everything happening with Missy. And I mean, there's so much potential out there. I do think things could turn around. So I'm hopeful that come January, things start to pick up, the wins start rolling in, and then you're going to be able to, you know, be excited about basketball season in New Orleans again.
Chrissy, one of the things, too, is sometimes you got to make moves, and you find out about somebody that I think is better than maybe what you thought when you brought him in, and that would be Brandon Boston. You know, okay, third-year guy from Kentucky, okay, you know, kind of gets cut in one of these little salary cap-type situations, and he's open to you, and you're able to bring him in. Brandon's really played some good basketball for the Pelicans. And I guess, you know, you didn't think he'd have this big of a role But he has been better than I think anyone could have imagined when they signed him.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And he's another guy that I would say is hungry, because right now he's getting minutes because you do have hurt players. And so this is his chance. This could be his last chance to show I deserve time on the court. And so that hunger does fuel you. You know, there's no complacency there. And that's what you're seeing with him. And he's fighting for every loose ball and he's making good decisions out there. So he's definitely proving himself to be another one of those guys that could be an off the bench. Clearly, we're using him plenty right now as we need him.
Chrissy, appreciate your time. Tell us what you got going on the website, onthenow.com, and the podcast you're putting out there, too.
Yeah, so I'm part of Be in the Know group, and we're just a local group of people who have some background in covering sports and, you know, love our local team. So we just want to highlight it as much as we can. And then I've got a podcast called State of the Pels. And it's just, we try to keep it positive and upbeat, even when we've only got five wins. But, you know, it makes the season go by a little bit easier, even when you're struggling.
Chrissy, you got a hell of a job on your hands to try to make it positive. But I get it. you got to do what you got to do. But I understand it. And it's just, think about all the hype before this season and how quickly it all came apart.
There was a ton of hope, for sure.
Yeah, because everybody was, man, I can't wait till the Pelicans get on the court. And when the trade came down with Murray, I think that was really the big thing. Man, maybe we got something here that can take us into the playoffs and not be in the play-in tournament. Now, you're basically talking about maybe you a lottery pick team, to be honest with you.
I know. Unfortunately, that is what it's looking like at this point. Unless they do something miraculous, and anything's possible in the NBA, so you never know. But yeah, you know, hopefully good things are headed the Pelicans' way.
Appreciate the time, Chrissy. Everybody check out InTheKnow.com for more of her and everyone's work there. So talk to you soon, Chrissy. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Thanks, guys.
That was podcaster and writer for TheKnow.com, Chrissy Smith, joining us there, breaking down the Pelicans. They will play the Houston Rockets tonight in the Smoothie King Center, a 7 o'clock tip-off you can hear on 870 AM. And then the Birds got to turn around. They got a back-to-back at home and get the Memphis Grizzlies there tomorrow.
It don't get any easier. No. Right? Go from the Rockets to the Grizzlies. And, man, the Rockets, you know, you thought before the season, but I told you, you know, 30 games into the season or 30th game, you're 20-9. Man, Houston has really played some good basketball. Really, really has.
Taking a break here on WWL. Be back for more from the Treasure Chest Casino right after this. Stay tuned. We got choices here on WWL tonight. 8:70 a.m. come 6:30 will be pregame coverage of the Pelicans taking on the Houston Rockets. A tip-off at 7 p.m. Once again, that's on 8:70 a.m. Meanwhile, 6:30 over on 105.3. You can stick with us on Sports Talk, and then we'll lead you right up to Thursday night football action as the Seattle Seahawks and Chicago Bears clash in a matchup that wasn't as interesting as maybe they had hoped in the beginning of the year.
No, because you thought, you know, the Bears would be in the hunt for something.
It looked like they'd be.
Early on, maybe you thought that way, but then, you know, Caleb has played like a normal rookie quarterback would play. And his offensive line's not good, but boy, he's holding on to the ball way too long, taking way too many sacks. And at one time, their defense was a strength of the team. I can't say that today.
Taking a break for news. We'll be back with more right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.